This morning, I want to take a few moments as we have time here to speak to you about a subject that is a principle of Christian living that everybody has to learn. And it's one that is very, very challenging and yet is very, very crucial. Let me begin with just a little background about my family and I. My wife and I traveled and lived on the road in the ministry of evangelism for 29 years. Our family during that time, we lived in a fifth wheel trailer. I think over the years we bought about 7 or 8 trailers. And about half of the time that we were traveling out of those 30-year period, we didn't own a home. So essentially we lived in church parking lots or at church camps or in other places. When we started in evangelism, my daughters, who are now 34 and 32, were just shy of their third and first birthdays. Our sons, both of them, Stephen and Michael, were born on the road traveling. One day we were traveling down the highway. My son Stephen, who's now 28, was sitting between my wife and I, and I think he was probably about 7 or 8 years old. And we were pulling our trailer, and I said, "Buddy, where do you live?" I wanted to see what his response would be. And he took his thumb and he said, "Back there." And so that's kind of the way we lived. My children grew up in church nurseries, church auditoriums, church parking lots, and church playgrounds. All of our children were homeschooled, and all of their classes were held in the churches where we held meetings. During our travels, we were in churches in almost all 50 states, multiple foreign countries. We were in all kinds of different churches, Baptist churches, Bible churches, community churches, Presbyterian churches. These churches were from multiple different groups and fellowships, the IFB, the IFBA, the BBF, the FBF, the GARBC, the IFCA, the Southwide Baptist Fellowship. The pastors were graduates from so many different colleges and seminaries, I can't possibly name them all. During our time, I preached in 20 different colleges and seminaries, in 21 different camps, in 12 different states. During the years of evangelism, it was my privilege to preach in 27 different foreign countries with both American missionaries and national pastors. During that 29 years, our itinerary basically began in late August. We would travel to mid-May. And then we served for 29 years in a camp in northeastern Wisconsin called Northland Camp and Conference Center, where I was the camp director for 9 years. And during our ministry, we were members of two churches. One church, the First Baptist Church of Bridgeport, Michigan, for 27 years. And then the Brookside Baptist Church in Brookfield, Wisconsin, for about 7 years. But we were rarely there. Of course, we were traveling all the time. Now, in all these places, in all these different churches, there was this running parallel going on all the time. And that is, all the churches that we went to believed the gospel, and they had a similar commitment to ministry philosophy and lifestyle. Now, they were different, but there was a sort of a similarities there. On the other hand, each church was incredibly different. The personality of the church, the emphasis of the church, the peculiarities of the church, they were all different. You can imagine what a church would be like, for example, in Wyoming and a church in New York City. It's just going to be different. A church in New Hampshire and a church in Southern California. And the variety that we experienced was unbelievable. We were in two churches in Florida. I think the year was 1995, I believe it was. And the first church we went to, the pastor did not want our team to sing because he thought our music was too dead. So he brought in a family of three boys and a mother who basically sang Southern gospel music. So it was sort of happy, clappy, and real bouncy. And they sang every service. And one of the boys, and I'm telling you this isn't true, one of the boys did the best imitation of Barney Fife that I've ever heard in my life. And every single night, the pastor had him do a Barney Fife imitation. Like, okay. The very next week, I mean, we finished the church on Friday night. Saturday, we drove to the next church and started on Sunday in the morning. At Sunday lunch, the pastor of the church rebuked one of our guys on the team for a word that he said that he felt like lacked respect and reverence. We went from Barney Fife in 2 days. The point is that the differences were incredible. So how do you handle these differences? My wife grew up in a church that was a landmark Baptist church, and they believed that the church began with John the Baptist, and the only churches that were really acceptable were churches that were Baptist churches that could be dated all the way back to John the Baptist. How they figured that one out, I don't know. When she graduated from high school, she went and traveled on an evangelistic team where there were multiple of people from all kinds of different backgrounds, and it almost blew her circuits just trying to handle the differences. You've come to Bob Jones University. This is not even a Baptist school. This is a non-denominational school. And all of a sudden, you're thrown in the mix of students here that are from all kinds of different backgrounds, and you probably don't see eye to eye on everything. So how do you handle differences? And I want to give you a very simple principle, and then I'm going to just show you from Scripture, and that is this, that where there are differences, then you should learn to show deference. Where there are differences, you should learn to show deference. Now, what do you mean by deference? Well, the word defer has the idea of respecting one another's sincere faith applications. Deference means I respect you as a believer. I'm to respect you. I'm to love you. And a part of that respect is to respect your faith. It's not like somehow I'm a better Christian and I have more faith and I'm more committed and dedicated to Jesus than you are. Although there's a tendency for all of us to have a tendency to think that way. It is a sincere respect for another person's faith applications or their formulated opinions on issues based on their personal belief. This attitude of deference shows a humble submission in your spirit towards one another. But as we all know, there's a human tendency to believe that my opinions are right. And by the way, they could be your opinions that are based on the way you grew up, the background you come from, the personal convictions you come to in your own life. And our tendency is to judge others who differ from me as being wrong. And the biblical response is to show deference, to show respect. And this is incredibly important for all of us because it teaches us so many things. It teaches us to be aware of others. You ever been around people that are really sort of not clued in to the fact that there are other people in the universe besides them? It causes you to willingly surrender your personal rights because you love people. It causes you to focus on others rather than yourself. It makes you aware of your surroundings and the people that you're with. It forces you to think through your own thoughts, your own opinions, and your own convictions. And at this stage of your life, that's what you need to be doing. What do I think? What do I believe? What are my convictions on these things? Paul says in Philippians 2, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Paul's teaching us to be concerned about the service of others. Now, I ask you to turn to Romans 14, and I'd like to read the passage. I'm not going to take the time to preach through that. I'm going to let you go back and read it. You'll read it many, many times in your life. But Paul is dealing with differences in the church of Rome. Because the church had Gentiles in it, the church had Jews in it, they come back from two completely different backgrounds. How do they accept one another? So let me begin reading in verse 1. Paul says, him that is weak in the faith receive ye, but not to doubtful disopinions. That is, arguments over opinions or differences. For one believes that he may eat all things, another who is weak eats herbs or vegetables. Could be over the fact, it's hard to know exactly why, but could be the meat issue was over meat being offered to idols. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth. That is, the two responses that we have is either we judge other people or we despise them. Tendency is if a person's to the right of us, we sort of despise them, you know, and if they're to the left of us, we judge them. He says, for God hath received him, verse 4, for who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he stands or falleth, yea, he shall be holding up, for God is able to make him stand. God will hold him up. One man esteems one day above another, another esteems every day alike. This was probably Jews who were used to having certain days of the year and the month where they had extra special times of worship. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regards the day regards it unto the Lord. He that regardeth not the day to the Lord, that he doth not regard it. He that eateth, eateth to the Lord, for he giveth thanks. Let me just stop here and say, let's take Sunday. For example, personally on Sunday, I don't go out and do a lot of stuff. My conscience doesn't allow me to go to a football game on Sunday afternoon. It's the Lord's day, and that's where I am on it. There are other Christians that do other things. I'm not comfortable with that, but I'm not going to sit here there and condemn them for maybe what I would call a violation of the Sabbath, because the days are different here. Verse 7, for none of us live to himself, no man dies to himself, for whether we live, we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord, whether we live therefore or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end, Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. Let me jump all the way down then to verse 13. He goes through here and he's talking about the fact that we will all give an account to God for our life, which is vitally important to recognize. Everybody, every one of you are going to stand judgment for God. I don't know how many times I've looked at my kids, take my finger, and I said, I want you to know that every one of you are going to stand before God and give an account for your life, what you do. Verse 13, let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. In other words, I'm living for you. It's not about my personal rights. It's not about my freedoms. It's about the privilege that I have to love and serve you. Verse 19, let us therefore follow after things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. Now, let me drill down a little bit deeper. Our time is very limited, but I want to drill a little bit deeper on this because I've given you the basic principle that where there's a difference, we should show deference. But let's think about it a little bit more. Number one, there are some differences where we should show no deference at all. There are some things that are non-negotiables. What are those? Doctrinal truths. For example, every day here we say the creed. Why did Dr. Bob Jones Sr. have the creed written? Because those are the basic truths of the Christian life that all Christians should agree on. They're non-negotiables. And so if someone denies the cardinal doctrines of the Christian faith, and historically we've called that apostasy, then we don't show deference. In our own society we live in, deference has often been viewed as tolerance, and tolerance is a different viewpoint, because tolerance often has to put up with things that are wrong or things that are in error or things that are evil. Christians should have, in some ways, no toleration zones, non-negotiables. If a person denies the fundamental doctrines of the Christian faith, then there are lines that are drawn very clearly. There are theological boundaries that we do not cross. So that's the first area. We could talk a lot about that, but that's just laying that out. Secondly, there are some differences among Christians where you show deference, but it may create some practical distance. In other words, there's not unlimited fellowship. And this is often seen in areas that are not essential to salvation, what we call secondary or tertiary, third level issues. In other words, the truths that get you into the kingdom of God is what saves everybody. There's not like two different gospel messages. So whatever your church background is, there's only one way to heaven. But there's going to be differences of opinions. I heard a preacher years ago preach the best sermon I've ever heard on this subject. It's called Die, Fight, and Fuss For. He said, there's some things I'm going to die for. He says, I'm going to die for the inspiration of the Bible. I'm going to die for the virgin birth of Jesus. I'm going to die for his blood atonement. I'm going to die for his resurrection. I'm going to die for his visible return. I'm going to die for those things. Then he says, there's some things I'm going to die for. I'm not going to die for, but I'm going to fight for. He said, and I remember the sermon. He said, I'm going to fight for eternal security of the believer. I believe that once you're saved, you're always saved. Now, not everybody believes that, but I'm going to fight for that. And then he said, there's things I'm going to fuss for. But he made a very important statement. He said, if I'm going to fight you over this, that is a Christian, and we differ over it, I'm not going to shoot you. Okay? I'm not going to kill you. I'm just going to say this is where I stand. So there are differences. Let me give you an example. A number of years ago, my mother was living in Columbia, South Carolina at the time. And I said, "Mama, I want you to go to church." And she looked at me. She said, "Steve, I'm not going to be a Baptist." I said, "Okay, Mama, you don't have to be a Baptist." So I said, "I got a church for you. First Presbyterian Church. I'm going to take you there." So I took my mother to First Presbyterian Church. Man, I'm telling you what, that sermon was so good. I got out of the church and I texted a friend of mine. I said, "The Presbys have done preached the Baptist under the pews." I mean, that was a good sermon. Made me want to become a Presbyterian. I respected the preacher. Man, these are godly people. They love the Lord. They have evangelism. They're preaching the gospel. But personally, I'm just saying where I am, I could not join the church over some doctrinal issues. Now, do I criticize them? Absolutely not. They're good people. Fact is, I'm bragging about them. But because there are some differences, that those differences do create some limitations. That's just the way that it is. There have always been differences, by the way, among believers that created some distance. You remember Paul and Barnabas? They disagreed over what to do with John Mark. They decided not to work together. Did that stop the work of Christ? No. It simply sent out two teams. Did Paul hate Barnabas after that? Of course not. They were brothers. Did Paul ever work with Mark later on? Yes. Because in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11, Paul says to Timothy, he says, "Bring Mark. Get Mark and bring him to me, for he's useful to me for service." And Mark went on and wrote the gospel according to St. Mark. So there were differences. That difference created some distance, but it doesn't mean that you disrespect. It means you respect each other. You love one another. I could go on and on about this. I have numbers of illustrations about the fact that we have shared beliefs, but we all don't all have the same convictions. And we want to be in a church where our convictions, where we can worship decently and in order, and we're not bothered or irritated. And so there are going to be some differences. At Bob Jones University, we have a creed, but we also have inherited distinctions as an institution. Things that we stand for. Things that we have posted online. You can go online and actually read some of the things we hold distinctive positions on, like creation and sanctity of life. You could have gotten a better sermon on the sanctity of life than you heard on Tuesday about a pro-life position. We're pro-life. We're not pro-choice. That's our position. We have a distinct position on marriage and human sexuality, on beverage alcohol, on music, on Bible translations. So these are distinctions. Should we give these distinctions up as a Christian for the sake of some kind of corporate fellowship? And the answer is no. We should hold true to what we believe. So with believers, not all believers are going to have close fellowship all the time. But that doesn't mean that there's not respect. And there should be respect. And it doesn't mean that they never can work together, because on various things and different things, you work together because you stand for the right things and the same things. So that leads me to the last point. And that is that there are differences where we should show some deference. These are things where we have differences of opinions. All right. Let me give you one of them. Homeschool. Christian school. Public school. How many of you went to a public school? Okay. How many of you were homeschooled? Okay. How many of you did time in a Christian school? Okay, good. All right. Now, I was in a church one time and a pastor said to me, "I believe it's God's will for all Christians to homeschool." I went, "What? Really?" I thought that was weird. There are going to be differences of opinions. So am I going to fight you over this? You know, there are churches that actually divide up over this. This is crazy. Why? Because these are shared beliefs that Christians have. And what does Paul say to do? We should defer to one another. We should respect one another's opinions. Now, I got a list up here of stuff I can talk about, and I got 1 minute. And if you're patient, I got two. So let's take the matter of Bible versions. Okay. I believe God has given His Word by divine inspiration. I believe God has preserved His Word by divine providence. I don't know if you can believe any stronger on the Bible than what most of us believe. We believe God's given us His Word. I believe God's preserved that word in what we call the extant manuscripts we have, and that in the multiplicity of those manuscripts, we have the Word of God. I have no doubt in my mind we have God's Word. And over the last, couple hundred years, most people have used the King James Version. I have no problem. I've preached 1,000 revival meetings, and I think 995 of them I used the King James. But in the last 20 or 30 years, we've had some very good translations come out that are very accurate translations of the original Greek text and Hebrew text. And so we make those available here, the ESV, the New American Standard Version. Now, if a person wants to fight over, this one translation, I'm not going to fight you over it. You know why? Because I believe both you and I believe the Bible's God's Word. At Bob Jones, we've chosen to use the King James for consistency, tradition, and deference. But I'm not going to fight with somebody over that, because I believe both of us believe that the Bible's God's Word. And so therefore, I'm going to show you deference and respect. I'm thinking of a doctrinal issue, Calvinism versus Arminianism. You're your sophomore year of college and you already got it figured out. The sovereignty of God and the free will of man in somebody's salvation. We have people here that think Bob Jones is an Arminian school. We got people that think Bob Jones is a Calvinist school. I got people that believe that Bob Jones is going Reformed. I'm going, you're crazy. I said, you don't even have a clue. I said, let me tell you where Bob Jones is. We're middle of the road. We take what the Bible says. We believe what the Bible says, and we haven't systematized it all. Now, I understand the systems. I got the system, been studying it for 35 years. I know it pretty well. But where we are is, if you're a Calvinist, if you're an Arminian, we're not going to throw you under the bus. Why? Because it's a difference of interpretation. We're going to respect you. And you know what we expect? We expect you to respect us. And show deference to believers where there are differences. My time is out. My next two points are dress and music. I will deal with that at another time, because your patience will run out. Have a great weekend. God bless you.